This is Digital Dave for EA Radio, and I'm here speaking with...
Fred Rettger.
Of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. It's a good thing you guys wear these shirts, or I'd never know.
All righty, Dave.
And you get to fly this beautiful Kodiak, which is made by...
Quest Aircraft in Sandpoint, Idaho.
I've never even heard of Quest Aircraft. This is obviously a new aircraft.
Certificated in 2005. There's about 40 of them out the door. They're working all over the world.
Now let's talk about this airplane. It's obviously, this one's on floats. It's got a nice turbine engine on the front. How many place is it?
It's actually a 10-place airplane. We bought 6 seats for it. On floats, it's going, our typical mission on floats is 2 people, 2 pilot biologists, a pilot biologist in the left seat, and a biologist in the right seat, and that allows both positions to have forward visibility for wildlife counting.
Okay, so your main mission is tracking wildlife.
That's
populations,
correct.
And I guess migrations as well.
That's correct. I'm based down in Lafayette, Louisiana, so we keep the airplane busy in the southern states and down into Mexico occasionally. But we do a lot of work in the south in the winter when the ducks are there, and we take our entire fleet north to the breeding ground, waterfowl breeding grounds, every spring and summer.
So you range how far north?
This airplane's been to the Arctic Ocean twice.
Oh, that's pretty far north.
Can you spell tuk-tuk-tuk?
No, okay. Not in 100 years.
We had some folks by here. In fact, we had a person by here at the booth at Oshkosh the other day, and he was telling me he flew a twin otter, and he was looking at the floats and looking at tail number, and he said, "Did I talk to you at Tuk-Tuk-Tuk?" And then we were both going into the gravel strip there, and he was a little confused because we weren't on floats then. We were still on wheels, but small world here at AirVenture.
Yes, it is, and a small world amongst your type of community. Flying community. So your job obviously is pilot, so you are flying a
pilot and biologist.
Oh, you're a biologist too.
Yes, that's the key to the, that's how we do these missions is we're biologists that fly, and as I was alluding to, the front seat, it's all about that plexiglass in the front seat. If you put a pilot with multiple biologists, you give up that left front seat, and that's important to us.
Okay,
for
so you've got
visibility. Yeah.
So you have to fly and look out
that's
the window
it.
At the ducks.
That's it.
And argue with the guy in the back. No, that's a loon. Common. Yeah, I'm sure you've done that.
Yeah. If the guy in the back sees the bird, that's the thing.
So oh, nice, yeah, nice. Yeah.
So that's why we like to be in the front.
Well, you know, we're giving him equal time later.
Okay.
To talk about your flying.
There you go.
What's your typical mission profile in terms of hours?
Well, the survey we're talking about here, the breeding waterfowl population survey that occurs across the entire north part of the continent every spring, basically from the South Dakota border right up to the Arctic Ocean through the boreal forest and into the tundra. Most of us fly about 5 hours a day. We're at it a solid month. We divvy up that area, about 80,000 transect miles each year, and with 10 air crews.
So you pretty much fly a straight line course? You're not flying a search grid or anything like that?
No, it's basically not a turn for 200 miles. These lines have been flown for over 50 years.
And before that, for the birds have been flying them a lot longer.
That's it.
And they're still mad every time you fly over. Did you ever want to? I'm sure you do circle back to get a look at something once in a while.
Once in a while, but we pretty well do just stay. We're sitting there in the profile, low and slow, and you do your best estimate. If you can get them, if not, it's pretty well straight ahead.
Okay, you said low and slow. Let's talk about that. Exactly how
it's
high
the key
is low?
To this survey. People ask, well, how do you count ducks from airplanes? And the answer is simply low and slow.
Oh,
and
I thought the answer was quickly.
But that's why we really like this airplane. We're looking at this discontinuous leading edge on the wing.
And yeah,
that's
it's like
really
you've got
the key. Yeah, and it's. I just saw Tom Hamilton waved at us here during this interview. He's the guy that actually is the sort of, we'll call him the grandfather of that application. He was one of the designers of this airplane. And that application allows a good, safe, slow flight platform.
Slow flight, 100 knots, 50
70
knots?
70 knots, 75.
75
this
knots.
Airplane is rock solid at 75 with 20 degrees of flaps.
Wow. So you better like slow flight.
Yeah.
You're not getting there in a hurry. No. How is it to fly? Hard? Easy?
No, it's a very, you know, we certainly like all the safety attributes and the technology it brings, but it's still a pretty basic airplane to fly.
And then, of course, you can, at the other end of the spectrum, when you're done doing low and slow for the day, and you want to get home, what can you crank it up to, 150 cruise?
We're seeing in ferry at 8,000 feet at 300 pounds an hour, 45 gallons an hour, we're seeing 160 knots true.
That's pretty good.
That was on wheels, and that's pre-floats.
Yeah, they're a little slower, I imagine, on the
floats.
We're
thinking about 25 knots is going to be the penalty.
Well, that's still pretty fast when you've been flying at 70 knots all day.
That's very true.
Still get there in a hurry. How many years have you been flying for the Wildlife Service?
26.
Oh, you look way too young for that.
Started early.
And you're now that's an interesting thing. You became a pilot first, I'm going to assume, and then went to college for biology?
I had the great fortune of being in the right place at the right time for a summer job at the Illinois State Fair. I grew up in Illinois, and just luckily, just at an event like this, met the state waterfowl biologist who hired another guy and I on the spot. He was looking that week for two college students to go to Canada to band ducks. And went up there duck banding, and the next year went back and got paired with people that are doing this job like I'm doing now, and had my first ride in a float plane, a Fish and Wildlife Service float plane, came back to college and said, this is what I want to do as a career. And at SIU, Southern Illinois University, got my private license for $600.
Oh, nice. Rub it in.
That's how old I am, Dave.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been doing it ever since. You decided you wanted to get up front because the view was better.
That's it.
So that's an interesting choice. What would you recommend for a young person today looking at doing something like this?
We actually have some jobs. We're looking hard for that combination, wildlife biology. I was in, at that point in time, I was in school for wildlife biology and then did the private as an add-on and got some lucky breaks. But we're looking for wildlife biologists that are also pilots or vice versa. We're looking for that combination of skills. The government calls it a dual function position.
Have you ever, I guess your typical mission profile, you're never low enough that the birds are actually going to envelop the airplane should something spook them up into the air.
We've had some close calls. We actually had two duck strikes this season. Neither one was on survey. One was ferrying in Nebraska to the survey areas. During migration, there were a lot of birds. I had a duck strike in Louisiana. It was at night on an IFR training flight. So,
Well, do you mark those off? Okay, yeah, that's -2.
We get a lot of that question. All the guys says, "No, yeah, how'd you tally it that day?"
Yeah, exactly.
Good question.
6 up, 2 down.
That's it. We went negative today.
Mm. See, what you didn't realize is the ducks were flying missions to track you guys.
That's it.
All right. Well, I want to say thank you very much for your time,
Fred.
Okay. Thanks, Fred, very much.
Thank you, Dave.
This is Digital Dave.